What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Gym Floor. Slightly abstract episode today, so we opened up talking about how we've gone after last week's episode, talking about communication and building connections, and how everyone's just super nice to us now, which is kind of cool. Then we unpack this perceived culture shift around potentially a community of people that are just looking to have a little bit more fun, escape what's been a pretty tumultuous, say, 5 years, across the culture. And then what does that actually look like for your personal training business? What changes could you make? What could you do to lean into this shift that potentially is occurring? And then maybe I would love to hear some feedback from everyone that listens as to whether or not you think it's happening and then what you're going to do about it. Don't forget also November 24-25 Melbourne, South Melbourne at this stage, programming workshop. Strength and physique programming over 2 days. Tickets are available. I believe the link is in the bio on the Learn account. So just head there. If you can't find it, shoot us a DM. We'll flick it through to you. There are limited spaces available, and I think we're about 60% capacity already. So don't wait too long. Make sure you get your tickets in really soon. We're looking forward to it. Obviously, there'll be some kind of hang involved because we want to make it more fun as well. And we'll try and make the whole weekend not just math and spreadsheets. All right, enjoy the episode. Really looking forward to some feedback about this one. Keen to hear what you all think, how you interpret it, and what you're going to change in your business. Ciao. We should do some New York Nick ripoff with our own brand. So the STC Tyler's hats we made.
Inspired, not ripoff.
Yeah, inspired.
We should
rip them off.
Should do some Nick shit. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I want a basketball singlet.
Yeah.
I know we could...
A long going list on my phone of to do shit that's been on the list for
ages. I've got like merch. 6 DMs in the last like.
We need to do another merch.
Didn't you get custom printed ones from that site? How'd they go?
So
ages ago.
I went to do it.
Yeah.
And the postage
was
drug money.
Yeah.
And I just refuse to pay.
Yeah. So just put in the price.
$110 for the top, no problem.
Yeah.
Right, I knew it was a custom one, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it was like $75 to post it. I was like,
from America or something?
No
shit?
Fucking way.
Yeah. Yeah. Just build it in the price because you probably would have paid $150 for the top.
Yeah, it's just the value just dropped out of it straight away. I'm like, I'm paying $75 for someone to give this to me.
Yeah, but they don't set the shipping prices.
No, it's like freighted because the freight changes.
I understand.
And
You
know, the price of fuel obviously dictates the price and shit, whatever.
Yeah. But it's also America.
It still killed me.
It's like you go to the counter for a $3 drink and it's fucking $8.
Why can't there be something? Why can't they just do it here? I just don't understand it.
There's some custom baseball ones that I like too.
Business idea. Yeah,
you'll have to buy a clothing company.
Jeez. Well, that's the plan is to do that at some point. It's just
when? On the list.
When?
Yeah, that'd be sick. I've never even realized that they're Knicks colors until just now.
Yeah,
because it's a slightly off blue.
Yeah,
compared to what we use, but I'm in.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
I'm in.
Yeah. We need to do another merch run anyway.
So, I've had like 5 messages in the last fortnight.
I'm saying that. Keep looking at Tam.
And I'm asking...
Fuck off, I'm busy.
I'm asking so much of Tam right now.
Yeah, it's like...
I'll let you know when I feel comfortable asking him to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
nothing till next year.
Next year?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Really?
Nah, surely not.
Can we just have to put it up?
It's October, man.
We can talk about this after podcast.
Yeah. It's fucking October, bro. Nothing until it gets cold again. Fuck that.
So when we do these...
It's just not entertaining content, us.
When we do these
bartering
events,
about getting Tam to do the work.
There's work after the events as well.
Yeah.
Surely we can...
We'll figure that. We'll
get surely we can do it.
We'll get Dad to do it.
It's when fun. I said we, surely we can find someone else to do it.
Yeah. Jess can make the promo. Dad can open the store. We're good. Done. Sorted. Done. Yeah.
Sweet.
How has your communication been going? Have you made any changes?
My communication?
Yeah.
I've really gone out of my way to make sure that the first impressions that people get of me are as energetic as possible.
Noticing a difference in the response?
When you go to a place, So even when I went to the... when we went to the restaurant on the weekend.
Yeah.
So this is a nice restaurant. I'm not sure if you've been there, but I would recommend it.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, it's a mixed crowd. So you've got your older community who are probably pretty well off.
Yeah.
And then you've got your younger kind of community like us,
yep,
who are willing to let go of, yep, a decent amount of money for a meal.
Mm-hmm.
So, everyone's all walks of life wearing all kinds of stuff. So, I kind of like dressed in the middle.
Yeah.
I didn't want to wear the suit.
Yeah.
And the dinner jacket and that. And I didn't want to wear just jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And wear like Nikes and shit.
Yeah.
And as soon as I walked in, big smile, hi to the person at the desk.
Yeah.
Hello to the person next to him. Said hi to every single waiter that walked past.
Yeah.
And it was like, people were getting out of my way. Like, if I needed to, go to the bathroom, people were asking me, like, whatever. It was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah, I did the same thing all weekend.
Yeah.
Every place we went to, noticeably different.
Yeah.
In terms of
service,
response, even just like the interaction was like, just felt nice.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Really cool. It was a genuinely good time too.
Yeah. Even just like the eye contact and the smile thing.
Yeah.
I put up a post about seeing Honey Daniels at Platypus. Know who that is?
Yeah, isn't that Jessica Alba?
Yeah. So
she's,
like,
that's in a movie, yeah? She's,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Legit, dressed the same hair, same physique, like, not quite
Jessica. Did you propose to her? Or?
Not quite Jessica Alba face, but close. I pretty much did.
Yeah.
But my wife was across in another shop, so I had my wedding ring on.
Give me a minute.
And she was probably like 20. But yeah, I was like, usually I would just like keep my head down, like I'm not buying anything.
Mm.
My wife's in Cotton On. I'm just
killing time. Yeah.
But I was like, fuck it. Like, eye contact, big smile. Mm. How are you? Yeah, really good. And I was like, Honey Daniel spoke to me. It's pretty good. But yeah, super different. Like, cafes.
Yeah.
We went to Palermo and I like made a big deal of like trying to get more than hi out of the... Mm. Out of the waiter. And even just like, usually, because Amy's a bit funny about food, so usually like I'm fucking trying to Google shit and like, it's this, babe, it's this. And I was just like, hey man, like,
ask the person,
she's pregnant, if anything comes out with blood on it, she's gonna lose her fucking mind.
Yeah.
Help. Like, and just like kind of bantered with him about it, and then yeah, like the service was just insane after that.
Makes
a huge difference.
Working the nightmare of hospitality in the first 12 months of my working career, we'll call it.
Yeah.
I've always made it a very conscious effort of being as nice as I can to every single person in the hospitality industry.
Yeah.
Because it is just not a nice place as a worker.
Yeah, even just the presence thing before I stepped inside was like, I'm going to make this person stay better.
Yeah.
Or waiting for a waitress to come to the table to take the order. It's like, I'm going to improve their day.
I'll tell you what. Took all my fucking might not to be the opposite of that. To not be the opposite of that person at Bunnings yesterday.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know about you, man. But, like, you go to Bunnings and it's like, there's fucking 400 people that work there and no one's there to fucking serve.
Yeah, they're always running around hiding from everyone.
And, like, there was a line at this service desk
because
I bought the wrong thing, of course. I saw my mate when I walked in. He goes, what are you doing here? I was like, I got to go buy a fucking fresh hose. Anyway, four or five people just acting busy.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking stupid, man.
Yeah.
I know you don't want to do this.
Yeah.
You don't want to do the refunds. We're all here for a refund on a Monday morning because we bought the wrong shit on Sunday.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, they got 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, after I've waited,
you
know, 4 minutes and I'm the fourth person and people are leaving.
Yeah.
I'm like, they've got 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just going to be like, so are you guys not working today? Are you guys not serving people? Because I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So yeah, it took all my might. But then just on like the 29th second.
Yeah.
How can I help you? And I was like, okay, time to be nice. But it's tough when you don't get the same energy back.
Yeah.
Because she was like, what's wrong with it?
Yeah.
And I was like, I just said, oh, look, it's just not what I'm after.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You want to drop that now?
So hard. Yeah.
Is it your hose?
Yeah.
Did you make it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. I think it's just a good way of just how you should act moving forward.
I agree. Yeah. It's a much nicer way to navigate life.
Mm.
And I've never not done it out of... And I think this is something that comes off. We used to joke all the time about, like, talk to Ben in the gym because he hates it. It's like, I don't.
Yeah.
I just... I'm not consciously seeking it when I'm out anywhere. The gym's the same. Like, I'm not, I don't walk into the gym thinking, like, I'm going to make friends with five people today.
Yeah.
By engaging with them while I train. Like, I don't, I'm just like, I have five exercises that are four and three sets and they're one rep and reserve. And, you know what I mean? Like, my 2 minutes, it's just hard doing my fucking thing.
Yeah. It's hard to be that person when you're training too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
leave me alone.
Yeah. And I don't even care if I get interrupted. Like, there's a guy that approached me, found me online. He's like, are you a personal trainer? I'm like, not here. Like, only online. He's like, oh, fuck. And I was like, it was a cool exchange. And then he stopped me the next time. He's like, oh, was that your missus here the other day? Like, how far along is she and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, it was cool. But I'm not, I don't walk, I don't stop at the front door of the gym and go, okay, I'm going to be a pleasantly engaged person. It's like, we were just talking on the Fit podcast, like, there's a black box that I need to open to make some sets happen.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not that person in that moment.
I had this dude walk up, like, he's kind of a bit weird. Mm-hmm. He gives me...
Yeah.
He gives me the ick.
Yeah.
Let's just...
Understand.
So, I don't get a nice feeling when he's around me.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to talk to him.
Yeah.
It's just straightforward. Like, it's just like, energy is not really kind of on the same level.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, about to do the second hardest set of the session.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of like gets in my personal space, puts his hands on his hips and just goes, rawr, like just stretches out. He's like, oh, yeah. Blah. And he just kept looking at me and I've got my headphones in. I'm trying not to look at this dude, bro. And he just kept staring at me. So I just like put my one earphone up and I'm like, are you all good? And he's just like, oh, yeah, you know, just fucking feeling it. And he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, fuck.
Stuck. I'm stuck now.
I'm, like, oh, I'm just training back, man.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, oh, yeah, I do a bit of everything. Like,
sweet.
Good on you, man.
Don't ask me any questions. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
And I like sat back and I'm like, I wasn't the person.
Yeah.
I feel bad about it.
Yeah, but sometimes.
But yeah, nah. In the gym, I feel like there's a...
So in that same mentoring session, I was told in no uncertain terms, sometimes you just need not to be.
Good. Because when I'm in the middle or about to do a workout, I'm not the guy.
Yeah. Something that's, I find even as uncomfortable, if not more. He's like, sometimes you've got to walk in the room, say what needs to be said, and leave. And I was like...
Just cause absolute, utter chaos.
Ooh. That, the feeling of knowing... Because our people please are general lean to that direction, to walk in and just be like... And leave.
Yeah.
Not work wait. Through it until it's fixed.
Yeah, not wait for the response, right?
Just... Deliver, eject.
What would you rather? To receive it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Because it's like, obviously it's really contextual. It's like, how, what are you saying? How are you delivering it? You know?
Yeah.
Like, if things just aren't getting done and you just like go in and just fucking.
Yeah.
You know, up your fucking game. Bah, and then you just leave. Like, I guess you probably could just go, oh, okay, I've got to. But if it's like a real personal thing, it's like, hey, hold on a minute, come back here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not my normal style.
Anyway. Surely you would do, there would be other steps before it, before you got to that point.
I think so, yeah.
So that would be a tactic that you would use in a circumstance because of other events that have happened.
Yeah. But we've also worked with people that need it.
Yeah.
That we've even like had the conversation where we've both been present. And message each other and be like, did I just like let the dog off the chain too much then? Like, And it's like, no. And then you get then a follow up and it's like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah. And then, we've always had to kind of work through it. I've done a little bit of my coaching.
Yeah.
Like, just like, not like as in it's aggressive, but just like the punchiness of it. Like, this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
You know, this has happened this many times now.
Yeah.
You need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to sort this out because we can't lose any more time.
Mm.
And just left it. Yeah. I was like, oh, sweet, thanks for that. Kick up the butt I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, didn't need to like message him afterwards like, hey, man, like, how you doing? Like, are we still good kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like to try and like-
That's my like default.
Send the feelers out, right?
Yeah. Because I'm uncomfortable that there's friction.
Yeah. So I'll send the feelers out like that if I feel like I've delivered a message that's too abrupt that it shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when, like, I don't know about you, but when I get a message, I go straight to the point in the message. I don't do the hey and the this. I just go straight to, like, the objective of the message.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, was that too much?
Yeah.
And then I start to, like, afterwards put in the fluff. Yeah. It's kind of like too late by then.
Yeah, like how we just messaged each other like, this needs to be done. Also, good morning, how are you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I always like, it's like whatever you write at the end of the message, I start with it.
Yeah.
That's not a closing off of the message.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Personality things.
Yeah, it's funny.
Communication things.
But it's been an experience.
Yeah. I like the self-awareness.
Yeah.
Finding it as a good challenge.
Yeah. Just being conscious of your own behavior and presence in space.
Yeah. Even just like not going into your shell by default.
Mm.
You know, like I've always wondered why there's that person that everyone's just like, this person's here.
Yeah.
You know, or they you just.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like
learning to be that person.
Yeah. And they just don't by default just go, or maybe their default obviously is a bit more energetic, but my default in most instances, especially outside of the gym, is to just
sit back and watch.
Yeah. Just close up and then just like be quiet and just like, what's this guy talking to me for? Like, what does he want? Like, you know?
Yeah. I think something else that was interesting is like, it's actually interesting how we navigate it. I sort of at times have battled with most relationships, most dynamics, most conversations that I will have over a week is I will generally play the leader in the conversation, directing either an outcome or it's a coaching relationship or it's a mentoring or even like just generally that's how I'll end up in a group.
Yeah.
Is like leading a direction somehow. And I was sort of just like, does that get exhausting? Like, what is there? When I was like, I want to get in the room with people further ahead, I was like, I want to be in the room where I can be quiet and someone else lead. And the response was like, you just are.
Yeah.
There is no off button. And like, so when I was having the conversation with Dean, who I've envisioned to be that person, he's like, when we go into the gym, when we do this, when anything comes up that you have knowledge about, understanding about, you take the lead straight away.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. Like, it just happens.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting as well.
Mm.
When you start to think about those interactions and conversations and like you being that person in the room, how do you maybe you just lead slightly different in the room all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there'll be, surely there'd be a situation where like if you're in a room with other people, maybe the conversations are about something a little bit different that you want to absorb.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think you would just like not speak much because you're trying to learn, but you would still ask. Like you wouldn't by default assume that you're at the bottom.
Correct. Yeah. And where my mind just went is every workshop we've ever been to.
Yeah. We're like, exactly. How do we get the most?
We're at the front. Yeah. We're helping other people solve their problems. Yeah. Like it's always just.
So it's just your behavior within that environment is different. You don't think that you're a lesser of the person and you need to shut the fuck up as like a respect thing. You know, it's like, no, that's probably a bad example, but it's like the whole respect your elders thing, right? Mm. So it's just like, I just have to listen to this older person talking about whether it's correct or it's not because they're it's here and I'm here.
Yeah.
If you take that same dynamic into an environment where people are way ahead of you and you're not that person, I don't know, but like how valuable that would be. You might struggle to find your place there, get value out of it, even provide value too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, just be yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting deep already.
Oh, today's huge. I hope you're ready.
Are we talking about Halloween?
So Halloween is a little bit of this thing that I've been observing.
Okay.
So
I'm very interested to see where this goes.
So I've been thinking about it heaps. So before we keep going, I just want to give you guys a little message about our Standout PT program. So Standout PT has been designed for personal trainers who want to sustain a long-term career in fitness, but right now they're sick of chasing clients, they're not making enough time for money, and they're super frustrated with the results that they're getting in their business, and they can't see themselves being here in 3 to 5 years' time. If you want to know more about the Standout PT program, head to stcfitlearning.com, head to programs, and all the details are there. And you can book in your free exploration call where we can have a look and see whether or not that would actually be a suitable program for where your business is at right now. And back to the episode. And obviously, I try and watch as much. So I watch Flagrant every week. Yeah. Sometimes it's kind of trash. Sometimes it's really good. But I don't know anyone else that has the finger on the cultural pulse like what Andrew Schultz can do.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So when you say that, do you mean like he catches things that are relevant at the time before anyone else does?
It's like he's watching, obviously more of so America and New York in particular. It's like he's watching it from above.
Mm.
Observing how everyone's behaving, and he can see everyone's going to that door.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're standing on the ground, everyone's just moving.
Yeah.
And he can see it. It's wild.
Yeah. Do you reckon he has any influence on the direction, or he just spots the direction?
I don't know if he's culturally big enough.
Yeah.
To move it.
Yeah.
I think he's good at riding the wave of it though, and he can see it, and he can get ahead of it.
Yeah.
So then the way he delivers whatever it was works. So he blew up off the back of basically during lockdown. Mm. He introduced, you see it still, turn your phone sideways. It comes up at the start of a reel, and he was doing comedy shorts. How many comedy shorts do you see now on reels? Oh, it's maybe not in your algorithm.
I was going to say, I'm not in that space. But like
infinite. Matt Rife has basically made his whole career off shorts now.
Yeah, cool.
Schultz was the first to do it.
Okay.
Because everyone was like, no, I can't put my set up. I can't put all my jokes out because no one will come and see me.
Mm.
So he started putting out heaps of crowd work, a few of his actual jokes. And then early on, he was trying to do like a sub 60-second punchline joke every day for all of lockdown.
Yeah.
In New York, it wasn't as long as here, but it was pretty long.
Yeah.
So, and the concept was turn your phone sideways. Everyone was trapped in their houses. They couldn't go anywhere. So, they're all on socials and he just captured their attention for 60 seconds.
Is the turn your phone sideways thing like just lock in
and watch? Yeah, so it's a reel, but it's like there's something good coming. Turn your phone sideways. And then it was a landscape view of this comedy set.
Okay.
So, now it's obviously all still in portrait. And they crop it and they subtitle it. But that wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah.
People weren't doing that. So, he saw this as a thing and just fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
Podcast studio was similar to every other podcast studio this. Like all the others, shit everywhere on the table. Look, you could have been Rogan, could have been whoever else. It was all the same place. And then he went, nah, I want it to be a TV set.
Yes.
So they've got cool couches, they've got live plants, they've got studio lighting, they've got lapel mics, they've got like a studio. Again, just to push. It's like, this is where people are going. They're not watching late night shows anymore.
Yeah.
They want to watch a panel here.
Yeah. Is there a podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're probably not listening to podcasts just on the car in the car anymore.
And we've tried to listen to the car. You can't. It's too many voices. So it's predominantly it's chaos. YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not watching it, it's way too much.
Mm.
So, yes, yeah, so I'm just fascinated by how he can do that. And because I try to do it and I'm like, you do it better than me. So I want to learn how you do it, what you're seeing. And then I also think New York is usually two seasons ahead of Melbourne.
Yeah.
How they dress, what they're talking about, what it's like influencing the culture, all of that kind of stuff. We're always 6 months behind.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
So that's fascinating to watch that play out. And I've probably been paying attention to that for 18 months. And it's like clockwork, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? They're wearing New Balance shoes? And everyone's wearing New Balance shoes here.
Yeah.
Wild. So, this is my own. It's not from him. I think, so we were sitting in that cafe that we talked about in the other pod.
Yeah.
The one with all the leather shop and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Watching all of the people. And I just met Holly Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're talking about this like millennium fashion wave that's coming. And it's really interesting because I think it's the first recycled fashion trend that we've experienced.
Yeah, we had the shit.
Yeah, yeah. We did that.
Yeah, we had those clothes.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. So that's interesting in and of itself.
Mm.
And then I was sort of thinking like, why? What caused that to sort of happen at the time?
Yeah.
So I can't remember what the 90s were like. But if I look at early 90s culture, I think gangster rap, angsty, independent, like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, even like Alanis Morissette was all angsty.
I think MC Hammer was early 90s.
You still had some pop.
It was like Parachute Pants.
Yeah, but so. I think if you think of that era, like early 90s, I think angst.
Yeah.
And then you move into like late 90s, early 2000s, and pop dominated. Rap went poppy.
Yeah.
Like all the super groups started to dominate. Your superstars started to be like hand-picked, built design, like Britney and Christina and like all of those, like Usher broke, Nelly, like Nelly's Country Grammar album's like a rap album.
Yeah.
And then it was like, now you're doing a song with a girl from Destiny's Child. What the fuck happened? Like, because that was just the thing.
Yeah.
Even Eminem went pop. Mm. So it was like, there was angst, then there was happy. And everything was like, let's have fun.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at like culture now and wondering, because we've just had wild global catastrophe, wild global economic catastrophe coming out now, everyone's just like, I just want to have fucking fun, man.
Yeah, they need hope.
Like even the response to, and this was really interesting, that Schultz talked about, and I'm not fucking discussing it at all. The latest conflict.
The Middle East, in the Middle East.
Yeah, it's like that. There's still a lot about it. I'm still seeing a lot.
Yeah.
But nothing like I saw for Ukraine.
Yeah.
Because maybe people are just like, I don't know what the real story is.
Don't really understand it.
Yeah, and like you all told us it was this last time.
Yeah, I feel like it's because of who's involved, though. It's like if it wasn't Russia invading Ukraine, like would it be as big of a deal? Because the Americans and Russia
push it harder. Like,
there's that. Like I've always had that conflict.
Yeah. So, is it we're exhausted? Is it we don't trust anyone? Is it a combination of those? What's happening? And people are just like, I can't deal with that.
Yeah, I guess even at a personal level, like I'm over tuning into.
I just can't.
I don't concern myself with what's happening in the world because I don't want to look at all the bad shit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just like, control your energy, right? Trying to make sure that I don't. If there's hardship and it's in my life, I have the energy to address it.
Yeah.
And even for like those for Steph, you. Like she's got a way more stressful plate than me, just in life in general. Like she comes home from work some days, and I'm just like, I've used like the last hour to like just get myself ready.
Yeah,
because I'm like, I know she needs me.
Yeah.
So if I'm like tuning into, this happened today, and this has happened today, and this person's this, and that person's that, and it's like she gets home from work and is like, I've had a very hard day, and I need you, and I'm just like, oh look, to be honest, like. There's worse things happening in the world. Even subconsciously, it's just like, I can't meet the energy that you need.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I don't care, but it's just like, I need to do what's best for us and best for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know if that's us growing older or if that is a cultural shift, but I'm just interested.
Yeah.
So, I think, so who's your guy? Freddie Gibbs?
Gangster rapper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 years ago, everyone knows who he is.
Yeah.
Right now, no one knows who he is. Because gangster rap's like this side
it's
thing.
It's a sub-niche now.
And like hip-hop in general.
In Australia, it's
Well, apparently in America, there's like fucking 5 of the top 10 songs in the States are country songs.
Yeah, fair enough.
And the suggestion is that music needs to be cool, needs to be rebellious, and people are over it. It's not rebellious anymore, it's mainstream. So the culture is shifting to like, if I listen to country, that's rebellious because it's not what everyone else listens to.
Yeah, because it's the opposite though, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. It's rebellious because the music is the opposite of rebellious. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's rebellious to the culture.
Sorry, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's not like fuck the police. Yeah, it's like...
Because gangster rap is rebellious in itself.
In its nature. Correct. Yeah. But at the moment, singing about just like having a wife, a nice truck and a house is fucking rebellious.
Yeah.
Against the narrative. Like if you're a female country singer and you sing about meeting a husband and having children... That's against the narrative right now.
Is it country music? Wild. I don't know much about country music. So is it notoriously sad?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
Because that's all I get from it.
It's like the same topics as rock and roll done softer.
Okay. So it's a mixed bag.
Yeah. Maybe less of the like sex drugs part and more of like the wholesome part.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So like most music, you can swing your emotions within the genre.
Correct.
From song to song.
Yeah. And depends who you like and what you like and all of that. Like if you want to listen to sad country, you probably can. Just like you can listen to sad hip hop.
Yeah.
And GRP hip hop and aggressive hip hop and whatever. Like you can cry to Drake and you can headbutt walls to Freddie Gibbs. Yeah. Like,
yeah. You cry to Drake and then you can grit your teeth to him too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's curious.
Yeah.
That shifted. And then you look at, like, why? Well, it's like, it's more fun.
To be different?
Well, like,
to not be the same?
A lot of hip-hop is heavier.
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking culture shift.
Yeah, so same. Like, I think it's represented in the music.
Yeah.
The 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying, is not a, like, if you actually sit and listen to it, it's not a relaxing thing. Like it's aggressive.
Yeah.
Versus like
greatest song ever.
But yeah, I agree. Versus say like Luke Combs' new album,
sorry.
Which is like fucking just happy. The whole vibe of the whole thing is pretty much there's like one song that's lovey that's like if you listen to it at the right time, it's like gets like a little bit choked up. But the rest of the album's super fun.
Yeah.
It's like your story's about like when you were 18 and you were going to like pick up girls from their dad's house and he hated you and shit like that. It's just like reminiscent and fun and relaxed. So then I'm like, okay, well, when was the last time I know of that was a real thing? And it was that millennium era.
Mm.
All the music was fun. Everything was about clubs and dancing and learning dance routines and all that kind of shit. It was like, I just want to have fun. So then this Halloween happened, right? Last night, I walked out my front door.
Yeah.
In eyesight, I can tell you, you've been to my house.
Yeah.
There's 11,000 people that live in Gisborne.
Yeah.
In the whole fucking area.
Yeah.
I'm in a pretty quiet suburb that I don't really see many people.
Mm-hmm.
In eyesight from my front door, there was at least 150 people, including two people on horses.
In the street?
In the street.
That's pretty cool.
It was fucking wild.
Yeah. Insane. Did you guys prepare?
We didn't.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't either.
We.
Amy, I was like, you guys want some pre-workout?
Amy's like, I bought a box of favorites just in case. And then we walked outside and I was like, that box of favorites would have lasted 3 minutes.
Yeah.
They obviously only went to the house with decorations and we didn't commit.
Yeah.
But yeah, walked around the street. People were like saying hello. Obviously, Amy's like really showing now. So this is like one dad like trying to organize fucking six kids. Like every minute you're behind me, I'm taking three of your chocolates and shit just to get him to hurry the fuck up because he wanted to go home. And we sort of walked past him. He's like, this is what you got to look forward to. And just like having chats back and forwards with like a neighborhood was wild.
Yeah.
It was like people. Then I started getting messages from Queensland, from Sydney, from other places in Melbourne. And I was like, Aussies in general are anti. Particularly a lot of the time, like anti-American stuff. Like that's always been my impression of Halloween. Aussies are like, fucking stupid American thing. You're like more like, what do they call it? Hallmark holidays. We're just like, you just got to spend more money on bullshit.
Yeah.
Capitalist driven.
We don't really have anything though.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So kind of like we got to steal some shit from elsewhere, right?
Yeah. And when you think about it, it doesn't really make sense because the whole thing's like preparing for winter and all of that. But
yeah,
The thing is like we can escape and have some fun.
Yeah, well, it'd be nice if we could just replace that with something that we have.
Agree. I agree. But we
Australians just like whinge about just
everything.
It's true though, right?
Yeah. So my votes were like started early, like 70-30% no to Halloween in Australia.
Yeah.
And gradually grew over the day. And then the people that liked it DM'd.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone who hated it just like voted.
Yeah.
So it's like the people that like it really like it, and it's going to get momentum.
Yeah. I don't think like, look, Halloween in itself, I could take it or leave it, but it'd be nice to have something that you could do as a culture to get you together. That's why I like Christmas, Easter means absolutely nothing to me from a symbolic perspective.
Yeah. It's just hanging out.
Even birthdays, it's like, just I'm just like, it's cool. It's an opportunity for us to connect and get together.
Yep.
If, because we're such an early society in Australia, like, you know, hundreds of years old, really. Mm-hmm. And we talked about in the other podcast, how we just don't really have a history.
Yeah.
It's like,
not one we want to talk about.
Well, maybe we need a fucking, like, because we're so multicultural and we're so infant in terms of our culture and our, what would you call that? Like what's an event like that called? Like,
yeah, like a festive holiday.
Yeah, like, you know, we don't have those things. Maybe we need to rip them off. Maybe we need to fucking steal them from other people. To because they have like a Halloween, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
They celebrate their Independence Day, like fucking go all in on it.
Yeah.
We can't even feel patriotic. We don't have a day where we can feel patriotic.
Yeah.
Because if you do, you're a racist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we have Christmas, which is an Easter, and we're not really a very religious kind of country as a whole.
Yeah.
As a very multicultural, which is fine because it's a Catholic holiday hybrid knot
thing. Yeah.
So what are we supposed to do?
Yeah. I agree. It's hard. Like even the to make sure we don't get too many pitchforks. Obviously, we're talking about modern Australia, like your opinion of Australia Day, when it should be, whatever.
Yeah.
There should be a day we get to do, celebrate the thing.
Move the day.
When it is, I don't care.
Move it.
There should be a day that we can do it.
We should be able to go here and go, you know what? We live in one of the best countries in the world and we should be happy that we're here.
Agreed.
You know?
Yeah.
And especially like if you've come from all walks of life and your, you know, grandparents or the people before them had to trek halfway across the country for a better life for you to sit here and be able to complain about how good your fucking life is. I want to be able to have an opportunity to go, you know what? Australia's pretty fucking good.
I agree.
And we don't get to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
So, coming back to the shift, and I'm going to make this useful, hopefully, for personal trainers now. Let's assume that I'm right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I actually thought? I was like, the best person to... Well, one of the great ways to test this is to just like find some local drug dealers and just be like, what are sales like? And of what?
Why?
So like have party drugs gone up in use? Are nightclubs fuller? Are weekend, are Sunday sessions bigger? Are like... Are we seeing an upward swing?
Because I was going to say, I feel like that's always, business is always good.
Yeah, but it's like, are you selling meth or are you selling MDMA?
Yeah.
This is a different time, different culture for those two purchases.
Probably not in Australia. It's probably where you're going to have access to. What we got today, bud?
Yeah.
All right, Crystal it is.
Yeah. So, I wonder, at least like say nightclub attendance.
No, I know what you mean.
Like, is
I know what you mean.
Has that changed?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then it has pub and nightclub alcohol consumption gone up versus bottle shop sales, where people were staying at home and drinking by themselves.
Yeah.
Now they're looking to get out and party and have fun and do shit.
Yeah.
Because I haven't wanted to for ages and I do right now. Like we're talking about the Christmas party stuff. And like even when we went to Sydney, I was like, oh, fuck. I miss this feeling a little bit.
Yeah.
I love it. Again, I don't know if that's like... becoming a dad soon, get it in. Like, I don't know, but is it a cultural thing too? So let's assume that I'm right and that the culture is shifting towards having fun.
Oh, having fun, yep.
That it's escapism. I don't want shit that's too serious.
Yeah.
I'm not in a position to take on anymore.
Yeah.
Life's hard enough.
If there's so much bad shit going on, like why can't we balance that out with like having a good time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if that is the shift, then it's funny. I was like, it's the roaring 20s again.
Yeah.
It's the once the economy turns, eventually, we'll have an upswing in the economy as well that'll compound on top of this.
Yeah.
So right now it's like escapism because
everything's tough.
Everything's fucking hard. So we need something. And then when it starts to be good, it's like, well, now we can go all in and just go nuts with it.
Yeah.
Sell out stadiums for sport and all that kind of shit takes off.
Yeah.
What do you do with your personal training business if that's true? What do you change?
As in, how do you make it more fun?
Yeah. Well, that would be the theory, right? It's like if that's the cultural shift.
Yeah.
Doing your 90-second reel on center of mass fucking rib cage control or like whatever nuanced topic that you want to talk to people about.
Lower divisions of this particular muscle group, et cetera.
Yeah, it's like it's we've been talking about it for a few years that it's not landing. I think it's getting worse.
You think there's more need for fun?
I agree.
In messaging as well?
Yeah. So I think it's connection.
Yeah.
It's relatability. It's fun. It's engaging. And it's less knowledge.
Yeah, less, not none.
Yeah, well, you still have to deliver. But I almost feel like at this point, maybe knowledge is a retention tool.
Potentially. It depends who the person is, but
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you look at industry wide and you're going to sit down with 30 personal trainers in a room and say, what should you focus on? You need to be really good at your job.
Yeah.
But if you were going to go in and go, this is the marketing strategy to get clients into your business, I don't think talking about
how smart you are
complex topics is it.
Yeah.
And then you go, okay, so how do I deliver my product? What matters? We've done it intuitively and we've always sort of done it. It's been a thing that we've always enjoyed is the events.
Yeah.
But there's no secret that it's more successful now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And is that a representation of culture?
Oh,
people that are willing to drive 2-3 hours to be a part of an event.
Are you talking about a representation of culture as a whole or our culture?
For now, broad.
All right.
I think we've done a great job of creating that culture in isolation.
I think it's a representation of ours because we sat in this chair, the three of us.
Yeah.
Had a very, very, very honest and difficult conversation.
Yeah.
And was just like, this needs to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we actually, yeah. So we got the shift before it happened. Guys.
Well, yeah. And maybe this is... People can now.
Because we were exhausted from pivoting because of just tragedy after tragedy.
Yeah.
Obstacle after obstacle, right?
Yeah.
Through that period that you were just talking about before.
Mm.
So we were like, what's the only way to get out of this?
Yeah.
Let's have fun.
Make it fun. Yeah. So how do you make your face-to-face business fun? How do you make your online business fun? How do you make your content fun? How do you make... every interaction you have with your clients as much as possible fun.
Yeah. I think showing yourself... The biggest shift I've seen personally is I'm having a great time.
Me too.
Yeah. Like, I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
This year will be one of the most fulfilling years in my work career.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Did I make the most... Oh, actually...
Getting
kind of did. No, yeah. I kind of did. Have I thought about the money?
Yeah. The fact that you had to stop then and go, oh, actually.
Yeah, it didn't even, like, it wasn't even the thing. It's just like, I'm getting to operate in a way that allows me to live a certain way and have the finances to do it.
Yeah.
But from a pure enjoyment perspective, this has been one of the best years.
Yeah, which is no surprise that income matches.
Yeah. And it's solely just going out of the way to, like, build connections with the people that we... engage with and not only like work with, like the outer circle that still engage with our stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then not being afraid to just, you know, be who I am.
Yeah.
You be who you are and us talk the way we want to talk on here.
Yeah.
And show people this is what we are and this is what we're about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's been a really big catalyst to make the day-to-day, your average Tuesday, we call it, you know, fucking way better than it's ever been.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think some other ways that we've executed it is like the first 10 minutes of standout, the first 10 minutes of Q&A is always just bullshit.
Yeah.
Have it a little bit of a laugh, have a little bit of fun. Yeah. People don't come late.
Yeah.
Like there's stragglers that like are genuinely running behind, but no one's like, I'm not coming for the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because the boys just talk shit.
Yeah. Or we're going to sing and
play
the game.
Yeah.
roll it, right?
Fucking hell. So that is an interesting thing.
Yeah.
And then even the mentoring stuff that I'm doing, like, because my intent is to make sure they have a good time and get a business outcome.
Yeah.
They're having a good time and getting a business outcome. Yeah. So they want to show up. Like, they're not going to come if I'm like, we didn't do this last week.
Yeah. Do you think that comes from a bit of maturity, though, at the same time?
Maybe, but I think you could get away with not having it more 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I think like when you didn't know the thing, I was way more serious because I had to concentrate so hard.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
On the thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, so, and yeah, even sometimes now it's like, I'm so intense, but I'm passionate. You know, we talk about it a lot. I feel like yesterday I was a bit like that. Just in. I feel like I just yelled at people for like 30 minutes of that exercise selection.
It was good.
So yeah, I just wonder like, or maybe not like maturity, but like a lack of awareness.
Yeah. And I think that's what I want. Because this is like obviously just a conversation to come out of my brain that I had with my wife to now have with you and do everyone it else. On a microphone.
Yeah.
But I think the value that comes from the thought pattern is the awareness.
Yeah.
If everyone is looking for that, how do you put it in your business?
Yeah.
What does your consult look like now compared to 5 years ago?
Yeah.
It has to be more interesting. It has to be more engaging. If it's like, we've always said it can't be like a doctor's fucking, can't feel medical, but it's even more important now.
Yeah.
Even to the point of like, oh, like talking about the weather's not enough. Like it needs to be, you've got a dog. I've got a dog. Like you have to fucking... What are your kids' names? Like, it has to be real.
Oh, yeah.
There has to be something. Whereas before, it was just like, find 3 points of contact. Like, 3 points of connection before you move on to the consult.
So. Yeah, I get you. One thing I've asked is, like, what do they like to do?
Yeah.
And it's not even like...
That's a great question.
It's not even so that I profile their life.
Yeah.
I now know 3 things that they enjoy.
Yeah.
So I can either talk about them, encourage them to do it more often. Mm-hmm. If I ever needed to, like, meet up.
Yep.
Hey, I know you like this.
Yep.
Let's go do this.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah. So then, and then throughout all the whole consult process, it's like there's more banter, there's more chat, there's more jokes, there's more because people are still coming into the industry thinking they have to be professional.
Yeah.
And you have to, professional just doesn't mean what you think it does.
Yeah. And we have that pressure and had that pressure even now, just with like the way people view us through their eyes. We were like prim and proper, like always in the uniforms, like didn't really want to show kind of how we live our life and stuff.
Yeah.
Because we were like, oh, aren't we supposed to, we're supposed to show people
we're the
leaders. We do the job.
Yeah.
We do the thing and we're good at it.
Yeah.
But if you only show them the thing, you have no differentiation between someone else who does it as well. And when you're when you're selling sets and reps, you need to show them who you are, and there's no detriment to making everything you guys do the same with fun.
Agreed.
Like I've never met someone and said like they go, oh, you know, I got the results I wanted. The experience was great. God damn, it was too much fun. It's too much fun. We caught up too many times. We had too many good times together. Too many good interactions. Ben was just too funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Never met anyone who said that.
Yeah.
So when you put it, you break it down to that, it's like there's no detriment.
I agree. Yeah.
You know? Where if you do the opposite, where it's not fun,
you can lose.
You're no different.
Yeah.
They just have to really like you.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're not fun, they don't like you.
They just like what you represent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And someone can replace that.
Yeah. I think what I find fascinating is to maybe to our own standards at the time and reflecting, we didn't feel that successful at the time. But we were the most successful coaching brand inside Good Life by a very long way.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
And we did it with polos, with professionalism, with notes, with whiteboards for fucking podcasts, with all of that.
Mm.
I don't think that works now.
Yeah, I think...
I don't think we have the same level of success with that approach.
Yeah, I agree. You know, that was probably a carryover from the age of where you had to be clean-shaven.
Yep.
So the same... Yep. Whatever that was,
mm-hmm.
that is the... Like your parents or their grandparents mm-hmm. saying, clean-shaven...
Show up. Yeah,
wear your best outfit, clean your shoes,
mm-hmm.
and show up that way. I feel like that is a reflection of that era. And even like we talk about like those sales tactics.
Yeah,
like it was like fuck, man, was this like written in the '70s?
Yeah,
like this doesn't work anymore.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like we got on the tail end of that. This is that new evolution of like human connection, and there's way more human connection now.
Yeah,
so you can't just like you can't separate yourself just by like putting a polo on and getting a haircut.
Yeah,
like. People need to see how you act, mm. what you say. Like someone's personal brand now and a business's brand
yeah.
is way beyond that first kind of engagement of like, oh, you look like you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
people want to know way more now because we're absorbing so much.
Yeah. And everyone looks good on the internet.
Correct.
Like it's, yeah. just, it's not a good way to separate yourself.
Where before, not as many human engagements.
Mm.
So when you first impressions were important, and you could really kind of, you know, win people over at the start yep. with that first initial, you know, clean cut polo mm-hmm. professional. But yeah, now I just don't think. And we've moved on as like what we think is acceptable for that, you know, even just initial presentation of and aesthetic. Like
yeah.
you can have a beard now, you can have tattoos, like
yeah.
you can be big, you can be small, you can,
yeah.
you know, where before it was like, there was just like, you know, you had like that idea of what, like yeah. even for us, like a man should look like. It's yeah. like not an ounce of hair, mm-hmm. no 6 o'clock shadow.
Crew cut.
Yeah, yeah. that's it. It's like polo. Side shaven, fucking yep. hair on top, like has to have a collar on,
yep.
you know, trousers, etc. It's like, ah, oh, like, that gives me the ick.
Yeah. yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what's up, guys? Another quick break. I just wanted to jump in and tell you guys, remind you guys about the STC Fit Learning Mentorship. Now, our mentorship's been running since about 2016, where we've developed trainers through their first year of business in personal training and allowed them to leapfrog the first 5 years of mistakes that we made. If you're currently studying, looking to finish in the next month or so, or you're looking for someone to help you out with mentoring and all that kind of stuff, jump on, have a look at the details for the mentorship at stcfitlearning.com. Head to programs and mentorship and all the details are there. And you can come and be an STC Fit coach for an entire year. It includes all of our education and direct mentoring from our head coaches. Back to the episode. The other thing I'm going to plug into that is I put up the what I've learned from YouTube Sport, which is really what I'd learned from Rick Shields, is competency. When I first wrote it, I didn't have competency. I wrote passion and fuck, now I forget what it was. Do you remember it? Competency, passion.
Did you tag me in it?
No. Please hold. Make noise because I fucking need to find it. I'm real hungry, so my brain's just like...
Not yeah, working. I understand. Can go through another question. Oh,
relatable, competent. So the first two I had was competent and passionate. That's all you needed to be. If you were
at the thing,
you'd have to be the best.
Yeah.
You had to be competent and agreed. Passionate. And if you are those two things, people will be drawn to you.
Agreed.
And then I thought about it a little bit more and I was like, there's another thing and it's relatable.
Yeah, of course.
If you add relatable to that, it's in. You're fucking game on.
Yeah.
So Danny Rick in Formula One
yeah.
is more popular than Lewis Hamilton and yeah. Max Verstappen.
You know why?
He hasn't won in all the championships. But he's competent,
yeah.
he's relatable, and he's passionate.
Do you reckon, because he got ousted, by McLaren because they've done him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you reckon he's more relatable because people are like,
yeah, he's the
that's
battler.
Happened. He's the battler. Yeah, and that's happened to me before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If he, because like you pick the dude, so like Lewis, right? Golden boy.
Yeah.
Comes in, always been good, super talented, right?
Yeah.
He's a good driver.
Fucking oath.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's a super talent.
Yeah. If he gets second in this championship, it's like that's better than any championship he's won.
And then hasn't got the car at the moment, but he's always had a good car.
Yeah.
So it's like wins everything. Everyone's just like,
fuck this guy.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And then you get the dude who like is good. He's good looking because Lewis isn't a bad looking dude either, but he's not as good.
Yeah.
And he's had to battle.
Yeah.
And then he gets ousted by a team.
Yeah.
And then he gets put back in because of his raw talent. Everyone's like, I like this guy.
Correct.
Like this guy is because he's more relatable, right?
Yeah. And like that's why I'm like fucking all over Team Oscar right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I see so much of me in him.
Yeah. Like, and that's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, Max this, Max that. I'm getting to that point where I'm like, he's just too fucking good.
Yeah. Like, I'm super impressed by him, but I'm not. I'm not a fan of his personality.
He's not like relatable. He's not relatable at all.
I wouldn't follow him on social media.
Nah.
But I cheer for him on the race weekend.
Yeah.
So if we take that, right? So I watch Rick Shields every week.
Yeah, yeah.
I've watched 3 hours of pro golf this year and it's fucking boring.
Yeah.
But Rick's entertaining and he's shit compared to those golfers. So it's not it's not the fact that he's good at golf that I'm like, wow. I saw someone put up one day like Peter Finch is better at golf. Like, fuck Rick Shields. I'm like, no one watching this to be like, oh, that's look at Rick's backswing.
Yeah,
that's
if you want to watch,
like, fuck that.
Yeah, if you're watching YouTube golf for ability, just go watch Tiger Woods highlights.
Correct. Exactly. So
writing it, yeah, I know what you mean.
It's not that. It's something else. Yeah. And I think there's been cult heroes in sport always, and we term it cult hero.
Yeah.
Because they're not the best, but they've got this weird following. Remember when young Liberatore hit the scene at the Bulldogs?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, he's the man.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, he was just a demon on the weekends. And everyone was like, we love this guy.
Had the mullet and the mustache.
Yeah, and the big mouth and shit. It was just like, all right, he's our guy. And everyone got behind him. It was like, he wasn't that good.
No.
But it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, because Bontempelli is Bontempelli.
Yeah.
He's just good. Him.
Yeah.
But we love this Libba guy. He's awesome.
Yeah.
So I think we've always had that. Now, you can have a YouTube boxer fight someone who's also shit and make more money on a fight than Canelo.
Did you see any of the Ngannou and Fury?
Oh, no. Nah, I heard he was robbed, though.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I just watched when Ngannou put him down.
Yeah.
Tell you what, man, that was pretty impressive.
Just as fucking last.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, yeah.
So the concept of that, I think, is useful for a personal trainer to start to think about.
Yeah.
Because I know even for myself, it's like I don't have the physique to be a physique coach.
Yeah.
I'm not Anthony Krusner on the fucking platform. So like I don't carry enough stead on powerlifting coaching. And I've literally had this conversation 3 times in the last week. Like looking people in the eye and saying, do you think I'm a better coach than you? Like mentoring people and they're like, yeah. One of them like trains mums.
Ask me. Nah.
One of them trains mums, and I'm like, okay, so do you think if a mum came to me who's a shift worker, who's just had a baby, is returning to the gym, who has to deal with sleep, has to deal with that, have to blah, 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 which one of us are better at solving her problems? And she was like, oh, I would be. I'm like, yes, we can both write the program.
Yeah.
But you're a better coach for that person.
You're going to, yeah.
So I'm not a better coach than you.
Yeah.
She was like, just fucking like saw her mind explode.
Yeah.
It's like you need to be competent, not the best. You don't have to have the best physique. You don't have to be the best athlete. You don't have to have the most clients. You don't have to have the most followers. You just need to be competent.
Yeah. You don't need to read all the research studies.
Yeah. And be passionate and give a shit, because if you're showing up and you actually care about the clients, that's most of it's done.
Yeah.
And then the last thing that I think takes the next step, which is why it came last, because I think just those gets you 90% of the way. The last one's relatability.
Yeah.
And if you can convey relatability online, you introduce, they're fun. They do this. They do what? Even if you're not fun. Like, as I've been explaining this, I've been thinking about, and I don't mean this disrespectfully at all, because I think he's a fucking legend, Ben Mayfield.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't look at Ben's account and be like, fuck, he's so fun. Like, I'm going to hang out with Ben and we're going to laugh until we cry. Like,
yeah.
If I'm going to hang out with Ben, I'm going to have some modafinil and I'm going to have an intense ass conversation and it's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah. That's still fun.
But that's relatable for him. Is like, he thinks about everything all the time and it's cool.
Yeah.
It's fun and, yeah, like a different,
yeah,
just a different life. Well,
I think you rephrase fun with like, you're having a good time.
Yeah.
You can have a good time.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like my definition of fun and someone else's definition of fun are going to be two totally different things. So if yeah. they go, oh, how'd you do that? It was really fun.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, okay, so they did that. And we could have done some
something
like,
totally different. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, fucking next level shit. And they're yeah. just like, oh, fuck, I would never do that. That sounds horrible. Like when we went out in the social event and I was like, fuck, I had the best time. And
yeah.
And then, you know, Philip was like, oh, it's a bit too much for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then so that's...
Yeah, yeah, what's fun?
Yeah, so good time, yeah.
Yeah, I always think about the intensive. It's like I had the most fun that weekend ever, and I see all the photos, and I look fucking aggressive the whole time.
Yeah. Serious work, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I hope we got something useful out of today for you at least to think about how would you change your business right now if the number one criteria in culture is enjoyment and maybe a little bit of escapism, if we're totally honest.
Yeah.
Even I was looking at like comedy trends. The heavy political comedy seems to be falling away.
Yeah.
Like Shane Gillis just toured here.
Yeah.
And like blowing up globally.
Yeah.
And he's just silly.
Yeah.
Like he's still a smart comedian, but his jokes are silly. Mark Norman is the same.
Mm.
There's a couple of those comics that like don't take anything seriously. There's no like agenda to their set. There's no message. It's just like, I'm going to tell funny jokes and you're going to laugh.
Yeah.
That seems to be back too.
I like that type of comedy.
There was a period of time where like comics were the voice. Comics needed to say the thing that you couldn't say.
So does that mean The 40-Year-Old Virgin is a good movie now?
Maybe.
Because it's fucking stupid. It's Step Brothers, Ben. Yeah, maybe you like Step Brothers.
Nah, still shit.
Superbad? That's a stupid
movie. Superbad's awesome.
Yeah, but it's still stupid humor.
Yeah. Superbad's stupid but dry.
Why do you not like Step Brothers? Like, what's the...
So the difference between those two
is
the dry sarcasm of Superbad versus the over-the-top silliness of Step Brothers.
Okay.
I think Step Brothers is the most quotable movie.
Yeah.
That's fun to quote.
Yeah.
But I don't want to sit down and watch it.
Okay. That's fine.
Sorry, everyone.
Because it was like a period of movies that came out that, you know, that was when...
We're like that.
Comedy movies were, I reckon,
we're
like...
pumping, yeah.
Yeah, you know, at their peak. Because it's like now, a comedy movie comes out, I'm like, eh.
Apparently Hangover was the last one.
Oh, yeah?
I listened to a conversation they talked about and they couldn't think of anything else.
Nah. The first Hangover as well?
Yeah, number one. Yeah, the last, like, true...
comedy movie.
Say whatever you want and it's okay. No agenda, no weirdness was
that. I wonder if we can get back to a point where Get Him to the Greek is a normal movie.
That's a
normal
comedy movie.
That's a fucking great movie.
That's a fucking
I've watched
movie.
That movie so many times.
Stroke the Fairy Wall is fucking brilliant.
Hell, Jeffrey, he'll get you.
Yeah. So yeah, what do you change? If that's the cultural shift, what do you change? Because I wonder if the fashion is... It's hard because like young people drive fashion mostly. Yeah. But is the fashion a... Because how long have we got?
You just ticked over an hour.
Oh, man. Okay. Hey,
Tam, so
you
upset.
Got 10 minutes in me, right?
So upset.
My bladder is fucking holding on.
So is the acceptance of the fashion at the moment, that millennial time, a way for us to get in touch of a simpler, more fun time as well?
As in the older people?
Yeah, like for us.
I think it's nostalgic and people like that.
So there's been comments too about like, we're just reinventing all the same shit. We're not actually, there's no new movies. It's just like, let's make the Disney movies again.
But
let's
that happens in every walk of life though. Like where, you know, you see... people doing Zercher squats now. Like, cool, man. Like, welcome to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about Mike Mentzer's, you know, HIIT training. Like, I remember downloading Mike Mentzer's book in the 2000s.
Yeah.
You know, and doing
Could you used to be able to get, low budget entry level products.
Yeah.
Back then,
yeah.
And personal trainers were still successful. It's a little pot shot for the
app users out there. So yeah, like it's like we're just like there's only so much shit you can't make something new. Like, it's just we've forgotten about.
Yeah,
like, we've just forgotten about stuff. Yeah, and
but there's like
is what you're asking, Ben? Is it coming back because of the practicality or the feeling associated with it?
The
feeling.
Nah. So the different. Yeah. Yes. But I think what I'm sort of there's always been cover songs, right? That have always been popular.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember my dad being like, bro, this song's fucking 30 years old. Like here. Like,
yeah.
Oh, fuck. But I think if we look back then, it's like there's fucking Top Gun. Every Tom Cruise movie is the fucking same.
Yeah.
But at least it was different. And it was called something else. Now it's like, let's do Ghostbusters again, but with chicks.
Yeah.
And let's do fucking Top Gun again. And let's do this again. And like, it's just the same. It's a revamp, not
it's not improved.
A reinterpretation of at least the same plot. Because like storytelling. The hero's journey is always going to be the hero's journey, but you can tell it in a different way. They're not even doing that now. It's just like, remember Top Gun?
Let's do that again. With more CGI. Look, there's a couple of movies I'd love for them to remake just with the technology now. Terminator 2, Terminator 1. Like,
it won't surprise me if that happens.
Yeah. But I want them to just take the exact movie and make it again.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, well, hopefully they can make Arnold like 40 years younger.
Yeah.
No one else can do that.
Yeah.
No one else can do that.
Skull's fucked now.
True. Yeah. He's not jacked anymore.
They can't remake it without touching it again because it's not as commercialized in this day.
Could you just imagine how good that film would be with the technology?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know,
and
like
someone that could act
when he cuts his eye out, and then it's like it's just way too like that'd be the sickest thing,
But yeah, like it's the same with video games, too.
Yeah, I know,
nothing new. Everyone's like, stop remaking shit,
And it used to be like there was Medal of Honor, and then heaps of people tried to make the same game, but they called it something else. Now it's just like
they put their spin on it,
nah, like COD's pretty good. We'll just like make the 20th version of it.
Yeah, every COD's the same.
Yeah.
But I still buy it.
But that's I guess what I'm curious about is
like why?
Is that just a financial decision or is it we're plugged into this nostalgia of a simpler time and that's why it works?
It's got to be financially motivated a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we all wear the same shit, everyone just it just becomes stale. Like even from fashion perspective.
Yeah.
It's like if we all just wear imagine if we all just dressed the same, like all the time, and never changed.
Yeah.
It's pretty boring and stale. So yeah, fashion companies would be like, "Oh, let's push." Like I'm wrapped at it. They brought the polos back out. Wrapped.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I've still got
heaps of them.
I'm old now. I've still got my polos from when they were fucking popular. Oh my god, I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah.
I'm fucking old now.
Yeah. So it's curious.
They don't fit though.
I would be. Yeah, I hope I get some DMs about this one, whether people have noticed it. And even if you like...
Or how to make it fun.
Super abstract today with the intent that you actually sit back and think...
Have a think.
With your business, with your interactions, with your connections, with your everything. How do you make the environment that you're doing what you do more enjoyable for the people you're doing it with?
Mm. I like it.
It's a good way to end.
All right. I want to wet myself. I'll see you later.
Go for it.